I always like the three words: income, impact, and influence.
That person was inspired by my story. I need to share my story more.
AI cannot replace a human.
My name is Steve Plummer. I run a company called Symmetry Marketing and Publishing. I'm a marketing strategist and copywriter.
The difference in the choice of words, especially in marketing.
I started my working life as a high school English teacher. I was a freelance journalist as well.
So I know that you also have a book, The Influential Marketer.
Mm-hmm.
Hey everyone, welcome to Pivot to Thrive podcast. This is your ultimate destination to elevate your mindset, marketing, and sales strategies for ultimate business growth. I'm your host, Dr. Priya, and I'm here to inspire and guide you on your journey to financial independence. My mission in life is very simple: to empower entrepreneurs like you with simple, actionable insights and easy to implement strategies that will transform your online business into a thriving success. Now, here's the deal. If your current strategy in life or business isn't working, don't quit. Just pivot. And it's important you understand that the goal for pivoting life and business isn't just to adapt and survive, but to truly thrive in growth, success, and abundance. So, in this podcast, we'll dive deep into the mindset shifts you need to break free from cultural barriers and embrace your true potential. We'll discuss cutting-edge marketing and sales techniques that you can apply to your business right away. Together, we'll create a powerful belief system that'll guide you towards the life you truly desire. So, grab a cup of coffee or even a fancy glass of wine and let's start pivoting towards the success you've always dreamed of.
Hey, Steve, thank you so much for joining me today on Pivot to Thrive podcast. It's my honor and pleasure to have you today and know everything about Steve Plummer and your brand, Symmetry Marketing. So in just quick, not 45 seconds, maybe a minute or two, can you just give introduction about you, your spiel about what you do for listeners who don't know Steve?
Yeah, wonderful. Thanks, Priya, for having me. It's an honor to be here. So, hi, everyone. My name is Steve Plummer. I run a company called Symmetry Marketing and Publishing. I'm a marketing strategist and copywriter. And a lot of people confuse copywriting with a legal term, you know, as in the C with the little circle. Copywriting is words that sell. So, yeah, the writing of copy as opposed to the legal ramifications of it. So, essentially, what I do is I help businesses with their, I guess, their overarching strategic vision about where they want to take their company in terms of, or from a marketing perspective, and then how I help them, or what I do is I help them then implement that using the right words. And Priya, you may have heard me say before that, you know, words are hugely important in our lives, right? There is a saying that, you know, words are spelled. And I mean, that sounds really woo-woo and whatnot. But when you think about it, it's really, really true, right? Like, what words do you say to yourself? They're really important. If you're telling yourself that, you know, I can't do this, it's hard, da 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 da, that's what you're going to get. Whereas if your conversation with yourself is different, you know, it's uplifting, it's energizing, that's going to be your result. So words are spells, and it works the same in the marketplace, right? If you use words correctly, it's comparatively easy to attract the right crowd. And so that is the focus of my work, is helping businesses get their messaging on point, so they can attract the right words. And I guess to loop back around, you know, to help them use words in a spelling way that's going to benefit them, so they can then help people with their mission in the world. So how was that? Was that
I love it. I literally wrote my notes like, words are spells. I never thought about them that way. And also the difference between copyright and write, literally the, you know, R-I-G-H-T and the writing spelling. I never thought that people would actually confuse it with the legal copyright terminology. So that's interesting, because yesterday I posted a video about the difference in the choice of words, especially in marketing, because I was offering a service called Done For You Marketing. There was a same service. Another person called it B2B Lead Generation, more fancy, doing pretty much the same thing, but he was charging tens of thousands of dollars while I was charging few thousand dollars. But the terminology made that huge difference, because it was fancy in a different level and it could connect with people at a different corporate level. So yeah, I completely agree with you. The choice of words has a huge impact in our belief system and how we actually process that information.
Yeah, well, I mean, you think about just that example, right? He was spelling into his life and his business those high-paying corporate clients.
That's right.
You know, now, one's not necessarily more right than the other.
Yeah.
But I would challenge every listener to, what are you spelling into your life with your words? Words to yourself, words to your spouse, words to your kids, you know, words to your staff.
Words to yourself. That's what I would focus more on. Yeah. I tell my clients, you're kind to everyone else but you.
Mm.
So what's your self-talk? So watch your self-talk for the next 30 days and you will see your life transform.
Yeah.
So I'm glad, like, I mean, we started off on such a spiritual woohoo concept, but it's very, very powerful, trust me. So, okay, so tell me how...
That's our humanity too, Priya.
Exactly.
That's our humanity, right? And I think in this AI-driven, tech-driven world, I think we lose sight of our humanity in many ways, you know, when we can do something. I mean, the irony is we're using technology to have this conversation, right? So that's not lost on me either, but... You know, it's easy to lose our humanity in this digital world.
Yeah, and the personal, we still crave that human-to-human social connection as social beings. Yeah, I'm all pro-AI, but still there has to be a humanized aspect to it. It can't just replace, AI cannot replace a human. I will never believe that. It can save us time, it can increase productivity, but it can never replace humans, is my thought as of today.
Touch wood, let's hope you're right.
Okay, tell me, how did you start your love for writing? How did it all start?
It's an interesting question. I started my working life as a high school English teacher. I was good at English at school. I was good at English in university, and I was a history, geography, and English teacher. And then I became a faculty head, and then I became a deputy principal. And I guess what I found, I got to a certain point, particularly being a deputy principal, it was, I had four kids, we had a mortgage, etc. You know, it was a very normal existence, a very normal life. And I guess the thing is, I was unhappy, leaving home really early in the morning, getting home late at night, dealing with a lot of issues, that a lot of conflict, a lot of, you know, you're managing 90 plus staff and 1,000 kids. It's a lot of personalities, a lot of energy, a lot of moving parts, right? And it was a role that, frankly, I didn't enjoy. And it was kind of a frightening time, because it was like, well, what the hell am I going to do for the next, you know, because I was late 30s, 40 or something like that. What am I going to do for the next 30 years? You know, I've got a whole career ahead of me. What am I going to do? The thing that I was doing was more so as a hobby. I was a freelance journalist as well. And so I was able to make money, not much money, as a freelance journalist while I was doing my teaching education stuff. I would have gone into journalism, but I would have had to have taken a $20,000 or $30,000 pay cut. Now, when you've got a mortgage and four little kids, that's not really practical, right? So that was a no-no. And so I started looking around, well, how can I get out of what I was doing, and how can I get into something that I want to do that's going to pay me money? And I went to a conference in Sydney run by the late Ted Nicholas, who's a world-famous copywriter. And I didn't really know what copy was all about. And at the front of the room, when you go around and do the introduction, who you are and all those sorts of things, there was a guy at the front of the room, and he said, because I think at the time I was earning as a deputy principal about $90,000. We're talking about, you know, the noughties, you know, 2000 and something, 2007 or 8 or whatever. So about $90,000, working long hours, not enjoying what I was doing. And he got up and said, oh, you know, I've got four kids. I work from home in the hours that I work, and I earn six figures. It was just like, bing, light bulb. I want to do that. And I think they call it stalking now, but I harassed him till he became my mentor.
Okay.
And I guess it grew from there. And again, I started Words Are Spells. That was interesting, was that one sentence, you know, this is what I do, that was almost the polar opposite to how I was feeling about my life. And it was that one sentence that just, man, I reckon I can do that.
Yeah.
And and here we are, you know, what, 13 or so years later, I have clients around the country. I've spoken on stages around the country. I've traveled to the US to do copywriting things. So it's been a very interesting journey, if you like. And it was, I know we talk about pivoting. It was a real pivot using some of the skills that I already had. Yeah.
Amazing. Oh my God. So this really kind of resonates because I did that scary, went through that scary moment of living a secure paycheck with kids and mortgage, and add another layer, new migrant, because I've been in Australia for the past 7 years or so, and I quit my job 2 years ago. So you can imagine the level of fear that I would have had to lose that fixed paycheck, which was not a small paycheck. My last job was with University of Queensland, and a six-figure paycheck with 17% super. So it was scary. I was like, and my business was more as an expensive hobby than actual business in terms of revenue. So it was passionate. It was fueling my passion, but it was not paying for anything back then. But deep within me, I knew I was not happy and I had to make that change and not just stare at two monitors. It was too much. For me, the moment came when I lost my smile. I was not smiling. I was just looking at contracts after contracts, day in and out, 8 hours a day. It was a lot of time for me to just stare at the bloody monitors. I was like, nah, I'm done. Yeah. So it's interesting how we get those aha moments.
And you mentioned the secure government paycheck. You don't, until you don't have that, you don't realize, one, how beautiful that is. but also how limiting it is as well, right? Because it doesn't matter how hard you work, how unhard you work, if that's even a word, unhard. you know, it's coming in every week. And when I left education, I had 150, 160 or something days.
Yeah.
It was gone like that, right? That's a really good work benefit. So there's many practical arguments for not doing that. But the hard argument was, I'm going to live a dying life for the next 30 years if I don't follow what I want to do. If I don't pivot, I'm going to die internally.
Exactly. And that's what even I was like, there's no harm in trying. If it's not working, I can go back to the job because I've got the skill set. Yeah. I've got the experience. I will have no shame in going back to a job. This is what I said to myself, right? The words I told, I came here with a one-way ticket and I made it work. So I'm going to make this work.
Priya, it's an interesting... It's a really interesting thing you say there. You came here with a one-way ticket. And I'm constantly reminding myself of this. One of the things that my pivot taught me was that when you commit yourself to a new direction, it's just fascinating how God, the universe, supports you.
Exactly.
You know, if you are committed, all of a sudden doors open up, opportunities that were always there but you never saw or never came to you. When you commit, those things just magically happen. Like, it sounds really like a fantasy thing, but if you just dip your toe in the water every now and again, that's the result you get. Whereas if you really commit to something and dive in and go all in, it's always surprised me looking back, you know, how the heck did that happen? But it did.
Right.
Yeah.
And did you have a supportive partner, obviously, backing you up and your dreams and efforts?
Yeah, I don't think
without that it's impossible to
do. Oh, yeah, 100%. That was really, really important. It would have been maybe not impossible, but gee whiz, it would have been hard. Emotionally, it would have been really, really tough. And, you know, I totally would have understood too the not paycheck coming in, right? When you know what you're playing with every week. Life's pretty easy. You've just got to play within that box, right?
That's right.
But that was really important. And I can even remember when I was going to that seminar, even beforehand, I remember Jenny saying, you know, why don't you go? If you feel you should go, just do it. And I said, oh, we've got to do this, we've got to do that. It costs money. And, you know, I tried to talk myself out. She tried to talk myself into it. You know, thank goodness I listened to the woman's intuition and was able to do that. So having that supportive partner, that supportive environment was really important. I think I will share this too. To be totally transparent, I didn't just cut everything off. I saw there's a guy who does personal development seminars, a really good guy named Paul Blackburn, and he's an ex-coach as well. And he now runs a multi-million dollar business, you know, speaking around the country. And I was at one of his seminars and I caught him at a break and I said, mate, you're a teacher, I'm a teacher. How did you get out? And he said, he said, how much long service leave have you got? And I said, oh, I don't know what it was. He said, get it high. For 6 months. If you can't make a goal within 6 months, then you've got a decision to make. Right now, though, you've got no decision. Give it everything for 6 months. You're still getting paid. You've got a safety net. That's what you do. I've got to go. I'm on stage. And I just went, man, there's the path for me, right? I kind of hadn't seen that. And yet, because he had done what I wanted to do, it gave me bravery to take that leap, right? It was, I didn't have to totally burn my boats, unlike you coming here.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't have to do that. And I think having that safety net for a small period of time helped. But it also wasn't a guarantee of success, and it wasn't a guarantee of well-meaning people saying, oh, you don't want to leave that government job. You know, that's so safe, you know. I'll keep to play it safe, you know. Like, what about the kids? You know, what if you lose the house? All of that.
I know. Yeah. I mean, that's what people say that, right? And I say, I mean, don't listen from people who are not where you want to be.
Yeah.
You know, who haven't got the results what you want to get. Otherwise, yeah, that's interesting. But you still had the time frame, right? Like 6 months, the clock was ticking. So you better have that momentum and achieve those goals, and you make it work. Similar to what I thought. I gave myself 6 months time without the safety net, obviously.
Yeah.
But 6 months is a decent time for you to plan and see if it's working or make that decision. I was thinking, if it's not going to work or if I don't think it's going to work, I can always go back to a job.
Yeah.
So that was my thing as well. Okay.
Back to a job or just over broke, right? That's that's kind of true, right? Because when income is limited, income is limited. So we need to be realistic, though. It's not all, a bit of roses on the other side. Everything comes with its challenges. So,
but I don't know. It's interesting. I freak out that I don't freak out looking at my bank account. You know, I tell people, like, I don't freak out, and that freaks me out. Oh, yeah. Why is that? I think I've done too much personal development. Obviously, I don't want to make this episode about me. It's about you. But I've just done so much work that I think I've not associated my self-worth with my bank account. And so I've done too much work and I don't freak out. And I'm like, shit, I should be freaking out.
Sometimes I still freak out, I must say. I'm human. So
that's what I'm saying. I would be more normal and happy if I was freaking out.
Yeah.
Hey, listeners, before we jump back into today's episode, I want to tell you about an incredible opportunity that's perfect for those of you who are always asking these questions yourself. How can I earn more money? How do I get more customers without spending on ads and fancy funnels? How can I generate recurring income without selling all the time? How do I create wealth without trading time for money? How can I transition from being a one-person show to mastering delegation? If this sounds like you, then you're going to love our sponsors for this episode, the Pivot Mastermind, a life-changing 6-month intensive experience designed to help you launch and scale your digital empire. But that's not all. One of the standout features of this mastermind is that each attendee gets a dedicated virtual assistant to handle the admin and social media marketing tasks. That means you can focus on what truly matters, growing your business and enjoying the freedom that comes with it. Don't wait any longer. Click on the link in the show notes to apply today and take the first step towards transforming your business and your life with the Pivot Mastermind. Now let's get back to today's episode.
Anyway, so how did Symmetry Marketing come up from the copywriting world?
I guess I wanted to do things right. So it was a case of just starting, getting an ABN, registering the business name, buying the domain. It was just all of those very mechanical processes at the start. Then I got one client. Then I got a second client. Then I got a third. And I would love to tell you, look, there's this magical process where I did all of these really cool things. And then, hey, presto, I'm driving my Ferrari. And, you know, this is not an internet ad. So I'll tell you the truth. I just did the methodical things one after the other. And I worked really hard. I won't say it was easy. I won't say I got it right all the time. And I did work hard. I was committed to making it work. So I worked hard and I still work hard. You know, sometimes, well, maybe too much, but you know, that's a breadwinner thing, I guess.
Exactly.
So, I mean, it kind of grew organically. This is an interesting thing, you know, the Simon Sinek, most people are familiar, you know, start with your why. You've got to know your why. That's really good in theory, but I wonder for how many people, because in my experience, most people start with an interest or a skill that they want to pursue and things build from there. And the why kind of filters out all of that. Now, gosh, saying something negative against Simon Sinek, I'm sorry.
And I understand, what you're saying. I struggle myself to find out, what's my big why, you know? And everybody comes down to why is making money. Yeah, money is an outcome, but why? So it is a kind of a not so easy way to start from there. I think you'll figure it out when you're muddling through all your hoops and challenges. But I don't think like anyone can start with their why. I agree with you on that.
Yeah. We can't say that because that's.
Oh, we have all the freedom of speech to say what you want.
We'll get cancelled. Look out.
So I know that you also have a book, The Influential Marketer.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me about it. How did it start?
Yes.
So I got all these little post-y notes there.
Yeah, it's a working book, right? It's not meant to be a book that sits on your shelf. Most people who buy it, they use it every day. And most people's copy is like that because you make notes and come back to it. So where that started, it really is a collection of all the things I've learned. And I think I'll loop back to your question about why, you know, why do I do? I wanted to get good at what I did. But I also, being a teacher, I kind of have this burning desire to help people as well. And so probably that's my why. And the book was really a way of me helping more people. When we can help people by, you know, doing shows like this, by working one-on-one with clients, but I can help more people, you know, people buy a book, that helps them. And so it really, the book is a collection, as maybe I'll just see it there. It's, you know, 366 cracking copywriting, marketing and mindset ideas.
Skyrocket your results.
Yeah, one day at a time. So yeah. It's not a heavy book. It's an easy book to read. One lesson per page per day.
Okay.
And that's what people really, really like about it. It's not a heavy read. A lot of business and marketing books are very, very heavy. You've got to start at the start and get to the end. This one's very different like that. You can pick it up and flick, get an idea, and then go and apply that to you, what you're doing. And people will ask, where do I get it? Theinfluentialmarketer.org is the website for it. But the thing with the book, it was a vehicle for me to help people. And I mean, I get feedback from it all the time. There's a lady up in Noosa near where I live. She bought the book. A week later, I got an email from her and she said, hey, I used the email tips you gave on page 38. I've got a 51% open rate and we've made a sale out. And I thought, that really warmed my heart because it was buy a book, make a sale and grow your business, you know, and then who knows how long that client's going to stay with them. So it was a good investment for her. And, you know, I get similar feedback like that from people who find that it helps them show up differently and spell different things into their world. It is a collection of what I've learned all in one place almost. Yeah. And it's an easy read.
Yeah. Okay. That's interesting. I always like the three words, income, impact, and influence. Mm. So anything I work with, I say, if you focus on these three words, obviously everything kind of sits in this category, income, impact, and influence. And influence, I personally find that's the most challenging one to set even a roadmap or KPIs because I think these days, because of social media, it's much overrated. Like if it's everything is about millions of views, millions of followers, millions of dollars, it's so overrated. How do you tackle when people think, okay, influential is all about millions, million views and, you know, million views on TikTok, millions of subscribers? How do you handle that when people have that expectation?
Well, I actually go back to if you help one person, you've influenced them. If you've helped, and I'm quite serious when I say this, it's like that rock in the pond thing, the ripple effect. If you help one business, that helps their family. That ripples out into their family, their kids, their future, and so forth. And so the more influence you can have, the more people, the more families you can help elevate in with whatever you do. That's a beautiful thing, isn't it? Like that's
exactly.
You know,
more people need to understand that. They just get so carried away with the vanity metrics and numbers and millions. You just start with one. You start somewhere. Everyone starts somewhere. So I think more people need to understand the ripple effect they create in any industry, the influence they can create by starting with just that one person.
Yeah. And then the next one and then the next one. And I think the more that you're quite right that we can dial it back and understand the dynamic that social media is. It's a snapshot, a very carefully selected snapshot of someone's life that they show you, right?
Yeah.
And it's not reality. And your reality is if you can help one person, whether you're a builder and you put a roof over a family's home, how beautiful is that? Even if you're a real estate agent, you sell a home. You're giving a family shelter. If you sell bikes, you're giving people exercise and keeping them healthy. That has a ripple effect. If you're a personal trainer, again, people's health, that radiates out into their work and their family and their relationship with themselves. And so, yeah, I would encourage everyone. It's a reminder as much to myself, Priya, as anyone, is that, you know, we help the world and we change the world one person at a time. And starting with ourselves.
Exactly. And it's so important that you pointed this out, which many businesses miss. They just talk about the product. They make it about them. It's not about the impact that their product or service creates to the humankind or the community or whatever. They don't talk about their client and what is in it for them. And this is the quote I use, right? Don't talk about you. You stop peacocking about you. Like, what is in it for them? What is in it for your clients? Because they sign up. You know, it's not that you get invoices paid, which is nice, but what do they get for that payment? So it's beautiful how you mentioned that people don't think about the impact that they create, how valuable their services. People, like a fitness coach just thinks, okay, I can help you lose weight. But by losing weight, what is the impact that it has on that individual, their family?
Their relationships, to it.
Exactly.
All of
their
that,
confidence and how they show up at work and the performance at work. There's so many intangible benefits to it than just losing weight.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Yeah, and very interesting. You mentioned the what's in it for me. That's a copywriting 101 thing. If you miss that when you're writing sales language, sales copy, it's over. So exactly. it's a really important distinction you make. Yeah,
I am a proud student of ClickFunnels. Like I love Russell Brunson. I started from there, so I dive deep into the sales funnel psychology and words. You don't have to have fancy subscription for ClickFunnels or any other funnel software. You just have to bring that psychology into any website tab to walk your customer through the pain points and things
Right. I've spoken on the same stage as Russell.
Really?
Yeah, 2014 down the Gold Coast. It was I was at the back of the room with him at the speakers table. We had a chat. He got really sunburnt going swimming.
I love him. He's such a he's the world's best marketer, right?
He's
a very good marketer,
and
a good human, as far as the Instagram world knows. I have not met in person, so I don't know.
And from my recollection, what you see online is
what he's like.
Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah. Not many people are like that, because I've met some people from Instagram to real life and I'm like, oh, this guy's so different. You get that energy and vibe.
Yeah.
So I'm glad he's the same person.
Yeah.
Okay. I asked this question to everybody during COVID. How did your business, was it impacted, affected, or did you pivot? Because that's my main focus. How did you pivot to make your business sustain, survive, or some businesses thrived during COVID? So what was your experience, Steve?
My business was impacted. I had clients who, looked to cut costs, almost as soon as lockdowns came in, right? And understandably so, right? They had to survive too. So it was a challenging time. And the paradox of it too, as a writer, I'm an introvert. So I like my alone time, and I got plenty of that during COVID. So from that point of view, it was really good. But the paradox of that was that I also found myself feeling quite isolated from the world. And in hindsight, that wasn't the best thing for me, even though I'm an introvert. So it's a strange paradox. But yes, it did impact me. It gave me a lot of time to do a lot of self-reflection. I actually published my first book at the end of COVID, which was about poetry, self-reflected poetry, called Finding You. And so I did a lot of personal development and did lots of men's work and ran some online workshops with men and so forth in that time. So I went within, even though I was still doing marketing stuff for a smaller number of clients. I also went within and I guess used it as a time to just to dive deeper into me and the meaning of life and all of those juicy things,
Okay, that's interesting. So it did help. Obviously, the economical aspect of it is not favorable, but in terms of personal development and discovering or having the time to actually sit down and discover and go within you to identify that aspect would have been a game changer.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think if I reflect, it's made me a lot more open and a lot more, well, that whole experience has made me a lot more open, a lot more,
resilient.
Resilient, prepared to share my story more. And for whatever reason, the more I share my story, people go, wow, they say that was really inspiring. And I'm like, oh, I don't know. It was just what I did, and it's a really, and again, I've got to take a step back and listen to that feedback and say, okay, well, if that person was inspired by my story, I need to share my story more. If it just helps one more person, There's
and
that
this
ripple
is what
effect.
most businesses miss, right? They just either go post some generic code shared by someone else and say, oh, I don't get anything out of social media. I'm like, because people don't know the real you. You don't share your thoughts. You don't share your story. You don't know why you do what you do, because that's what people want to know, right?
Yeah.
Instead of just running a business, if you are about a mission, I can just say, hey, I help businesses grow online. Instead, I would just put it as a mission. I want to empower women with financial independence. Right. So when you say it as a mission statement, I think it attracts the right kind of people and they want to support you on your mission. So you show them the big picture on why you do what you do. I think most businesses miss out on that aspect. They don't, like you said, you just feel, oh, I just did it. They just underestimate that it could be a very powerful message. Someone needed to hear it today.
Absolutely. There's a really good, and it's a good point you bring up. There's a really good saying, you can't read the label from inside the jar. And that's why I guess why people like you and me exist, is that we help businesses see things differently, because they're inside the jar of their own business. We're outside of it. We can see much more than they can. And I'm the same. People who look at what I do and they say, well, why don't you do this or that? You could do that. Have you tried that? I don't think that's going to work. And I'm going, oh, hang on. It's not that I don't know. It's just that I'm too close or I'm inside the jar of my business. And so I would encourage anyone, I'm not saying hire me by any means, but to get outside help, because the fresh set of eyes brings a whole new different perspective that you probably haven't seen.
Exactly.
You know, and we all have blind spots, every single one of us.
Yes, I agree with you. So with copywriting, because you're the only copywriter I've had on my podcast, so I really want to have this question, but if you don't want to have to answer it, if you're not comfortable with it, but do you think AI has had an impact on copywriting business? Because I know a lot of people, not personally, but on social media, say a lot of copywriting business has been impacted because of ChatGPT, AI, and language models. What is your take on that?
Yeah, of course. Like every business, like every industry, it faces changes and you have to adapt. In some respects, I liken it to when Canva came out. People said, Canva comes out, no graphic designers, they're dead, they're finished, there's still many, many graphic designers.
You know? That's right. Yes.
You know, it's the same. And I use ChatGPT in my work. What I find is good for, I don't know, 60-70% of the work. But if you want really good sales copy, you need that top 20% that a skilled human is going to add to it. You know, and from what I've seen, I've yet to see copy that's good enough that AI can produce that would sell above what a really good human copywriter can do. Now, like you said, now today we say, but it's changing so rapidly that who knows what would happen in 6 months. So from what I see, what I'm experiencing, you know, if I just wrote blogs, for instance, if that's all I ever did, I'd be really worried, because you can get that done pretty quickly for free, right? Or the small ChatGPT-4 fee. But if it's that, it's the higher order thinking, the empathy, and again, those things that make us human that come through in writing that AI can't do yet.
Exactly. Like it can capture my prompts and the inputs that I give, but it can't capture my emotions and feelings and how I can bring it in a copy. Like if I just want to write a simple post, I would go to ChatGPT. But if I want to write $1 million sales copy, if I want a high converting landing page, then I would definitely be reaching out to a human to do that. So I definitely, when people get scared of it, I'm like, you should be worried if your skill set is only as good enough as an AI tool.
You know?
I say that to people. Like you said, Canva is the best example. Like there are still so many designers because they don't want a Canva logo. Yeah. Right, I've been paying Canva for the past 3 years, but still, when it comes to certain banners and things, I get a proper graphic designer to do it because I don't want to do it.
Yeah, so. Or you can't say to Canva so much, I just want that, but in 3 shades darker, or you know, can you do that, but with a twist of something, and then their creative juices flow, and then you look at it and you go, yeah, that's it. You know, Canva can't do that, right? What I have found with AI is it's good for word language patterns that I may not have thought of before. You can sometimes come up with a phrase or a couple of phrases and go, oh, okay, I can use that. That's where I find it really good. Plus a whole lot of other things. Like you said, if you've got your prompts and you're using them and refining them, it can help. It can do the bulk of the work, 70%, 80%. But to get a decent, a really good bit of sales copy, You need that 20%. And that 20% comes from someone, I guess, who's trained, who's got experience, who's not a bot, you know, mechanically scouring the web and so forth. Yeah.
I know. I sometimes go into Karen mode and I said, "You sound like a bot. I don't like it. Can you change it?" So yeah. Sometimes I can be mean to ChatGPT, but I've used it extensively for marketing and stuff. But I would still recommend people to have that final read through, a human touch, edited. Because now when I look at LinkedIn, it's all ChatGPT. I can literally look at a post and say they've completely copy pasted from there with the words. It doesn't sound like them.
Yes,
you just know it. Anyway, I so loved our conversation. It was very spiritual, very practical, very logical, and I can relate to most of the things, not most of the things, but your journey and the things that you have been through. So for listeners, where they can find you, and if they want to know more about your work, how they can work with you.
Yeah, sure. So if you want to find out more about working with me, go to symmetrymarketing.com.au. That's symmetrymarketing.com.au. You can contact me via that. If you would like a copy of The Influential Marketer, which probably should be on every single business person's desk, it's theinfluentialmarketer.org. And I'm happy to sign a copy for you if you're in Australia and ship that out to you. So yeah, they're the two big things. One question I do get is, well, two questions about the book. Why is it .org? And there's a very strategic reason for that. .com and .com.au were taken. So the world is imperfect. You know, progress, not perfection. People go, but isn't that a foundation or something? Well, that was all that was available, right? So that's the answer to that. And the other question that I get is it on Kindle or Audible? And my answer is no. Reason for that, I've found that for best results, we spend so much time on our screen. If it's on Kindle, it will get lost on the screen along with the 5,000 other ebooks you've downloaded. Whereas when it's a physical tactile experience where you have to open it, you can mark it, you are going to get more value out of it and more use out of it as a working textbook, if you want to use those terms. So theinfluentialmarketer.org, it costs $35 plus shipping. And as I said, I'm happy to sign that for you before I ship it. So yeah, thank you, Priya. I've really enjoyed our conversation. It's been a pleasure being a guest with you.
Thank you so much, Steve. I'm going to leave all these links in the show notes below so people can actually look at your website and books and they can purchase it. I thoroughly enjoyed our conversation. And yeah, I'll see you around in one of our meetings sometime soon.
Wonderful. Thanks,
Priya. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
I truly hope you enjoyed listening to this episode as much as I enjoyed creating it just for you. Please follow Pivot to Thrive podcast on the platform you're listening to right now. It would mean the world to me if you could leave a review, and I'm so excited to see you on the next episode. Sending you loads of love, positive, and healing vibes your way. Stay blessed.